This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm so high on the Rockets.
Live from Twin Peaks at Kirby and 59, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here on the road on one of the greatest days on the sports calendar. We are live here, Twin Peaks. Right here off of Kirby. Come on out and have a good time. Just like our guy Dwight. Shout out to Dwight who just stopped by. He said he's a longtime listener. Stepped in and came and said what's up to us. And we appreciate you listening. Help making us the number one sports show in this great city. Come on out. Come on out, man. There are plenty of TVs everywhere. The beer is flowing. The drinks is flowing. Somebody got me a shot. That was bourbon. It was good. I just wasn't ready for it.
Top shelf bourbon, top shelf tequila's over here at Twin Peaks now.
There you go. The food is fantastic. If you're watching this on YouTube and Twitch, you saw Clint dive into them smoke wings, and you can dive into plenty of things as well. And this is coming up the rest of the show. The first opportunity will be after this segment. You got a chance to win. We've got two $50 gift cards here to Twin Peaks that you can have a chance to win, as well as two $25 Visa gift cards. So, hell, you got four opportunities to win, and all those opportunities to win, you can pay for your meal, your drinks here, and have a good time. So we'll be doing our first giveaway coming up as soon as this segment ends. But a little tourney update. I'm telling you, I'm undefeated right now, and we do have a parlay out. And if it has not been explained to you, the parlay is helpful to you as well, the listener, because if we hit this four-team parlay, you will have the opportunity to get some drinks on us. Some drinks on us just like we did last year. By the way, the parlay is we need McNeese State to just stay within 7.5 of Clemson. Well, currently they lead 25-11 right now with 4 minutes left in the half.
This thing is
looking good right now in that game. A little bit later on, Missouri and Drake. We got Missouri, them winning by more than 6.5. Utah State, UCLA. Utah State, we're looking as dogs. They are 5.5 point underdogs in this game. I like Utah State. And then UC San Diego, a big upset pick over Michigan. I think Michigan will take care of them. They're 2.5 point favorite if they can get a win over 2.5. And we can get all four of those, baby. You are drinking tomorrow, baby. You're drinking tomorrow with us right here at Twin Peaks. So come on out. Have a good time. There you go, brother. Have a good time there. This McNeese State score, boy. Hopefully this is the luck that we are rolling into. I know you got a little separate action. Is McNeese involved in that?
McNeese is involved in this. This is the one that could take both of us down. both of our little bets now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we need McNeese here to keep two of them alive, y'all. I went ahead and put a little parlay together that's going to end, that should end about 6:30 shortly off as when we get off the air. So any listeners that happen to be in the building, assuming that that thing is still alive in that Tennessee game, the Tennessee Volunteers in the first half. I'm just now realizing that I bet on the damn Volunteers. But
yeah, you did.
Yeah, that'll be the bet that hopefully we can all cheer for winning there. That'd be big. We can all celebrate together.
No, we can't. We can. Hopefully we have a good time. So it's off to a good start right now. But come on out and watch all these games out here, man. Hell, I know all these people ain't just off work. You can come on, roll
half
on
of them on the clock.
On the clock right now. Half of them are. You can roll on down here and do your thing, especially when you get off. There ain't, as Clint said earlier, a better place. U of H already beat the hell out of a team. They held 8 minutes without scoring a point, and even longer from the field than that. So it's a good time to be had out here. All right, the Rockets, Clint, they won 8 straight. Hey, they take care of business. Orlando, they're a team that's going to be in the playoffs, the play-in at the very least, and just beat the Cleveland Cavs, who have the best record in the NBA earlier this week. They go down there and get a win pretty handily there. And Jalen Green was a catalyst, won some money for Tyler last night.
And me.
And you and the people, Jalen Green.
On. Don't leave me out now.
I can't keep up with what you did put in on. But Jalen Green was a catalyst last night. Udoka speaks about his young guard, Jalen Green, and what he means to the Rockets.
Yeah, I think he's just much more settled and has seen everything, you know, at this point. They blitzed him late in the game today, and he handled it much better than he had at times last year. And so his consistency, Alpe's consistency, has really been the key to all this, especially with Fred being out for a while and kind of finding his way back now. You can still see he's rusty. My man being out and Jabbar being out for that, you know, month and a half, I think him growing in those areas, him and Alpe, kind of carried us to where we are now. And so big march last year, like you mentioned, but I think overall, he's been very consistent this year. You know, every off game he has, he really bounces back with a good week or two. And that shows the growth that he's having. And obviously, he's going to be crucial for us going forward.
All right, that's him talking about Jalen Green. As he said, crucial for them going forward. Listen, the Rockets are going to be in the playoffs. Don't know what their seeding is going to be. Going to be in the playoffs, Clint. But I'm telling you, for me personally, my excitement level of seeing Jalen Green in the playoffs, it is at an all-time high. He is of anybody, right? Just because you just don't know what's going to happen. You really don't know what's going. You know he's going to put up shots. He's going to play, but you just don't know how he is going to perform in the playoffs. So I am excited to see what he does once he gets on that stage. That'll be fun to watch.
I'm right there with you. I'm excited about the whole team, assuming that they can get there and I'm in Thompson is healthy and the other guys can stay healthy the rest of the way. I'm excited about the team just to see how much of it translates. I'm convinced the defense translates. I know other teams are going to raise their level of play. I know other teams are going to have superstars. I know this has been an 8-game stretch of some subpar teams where they have not done anything great other than consistently play well. They beat teams that they should have beaten, right?
Yeah.
For the most part, maybe not all of them, but they should have beaten. So the one thing again, I'm a Rockets fan. There's nothing about breaking down basketball film that I can help you with, but I know watching Jalen Green right now, there's no doubt about it. Watching Jalen Green right now, you're watching a totally different player than the guy that I talked about for 2 years leading up to this season. I mean, he appears to be in control of, one, himself, but two, the game for the most part. When we talk about like the Rockets, and recently you and I've had conversations about the Rockets just being out of control and not really having much of an identity, very rarely has it been him.
Yeah.
It's the other guys around him. And so, yeah, man, I'm stoked to watch him in the playoffs as well. I'm stoked to watch him in more high leverage situations against better players, better defenders, and see what he can do, man. It's been impressive. The last 5 games for him, what's he averaging? Over 27
yep.
in the last 5 games. I love the way that Ime Udoka doesn't pull him out of the game. I mean, I'm sure that's
that was happening last year at times, benching. Well, yeah,
like right now, like I've watched several games because I had a bet late where the game's really out of hand and the Rockets are winning and everybody's, not everybody, but a good chunk of the guys are resting for one reason or another. Well, he's still in the game. He's still in the game getting it, right? So there's obviously some level of development there that Ime Udoka is looking for from him, and it seems like watching him that he's gotten there. Now I'll say this, Ron, and you were out last week, but talking to, you know, B. Scott, the, you know, this run, again, maybe not 8 or 9 or 10 straight, you know, but winning the majority of the games leading up until this Sunday, they match up against the Denver Nuggets. Leading up to that game, the expectations for most of us were, hey, they're going to rattle off some wins, and they should win most of these games. Now, when you look at once Sunday hits, you know, the schedule moving forward there, you catch some better basketball teams. So my hope is that we feel good, as good in, a week, as we do right now, both about the Rockets and about Jalen Green. I know B. Scott coming in and saying, hell, I mean, I went from, you know, thinking that they weren't going to be competitive in a playoff series to, hey, man, they can compete in it. I hope that's still the case once this schedule tightens up a little bit down the stretch. But we'll see.
They still have some. I think the Lakers get in there. I think the Nuggets are in there. Some other teams are in there. And we'll see what the Nuggets. Hell, they haven't been able to play. They haven't played Jokic or Murray the last couple of games either.
You get the Jazz a couple times. OKC's in there again.
OKC's in there, yeah.
Golden State's in there again. I mean, there's some
challenges there for them. Yeah, I just, the same thing as you said with the young guys, with Jalen Green. They get in the playoffs, as you said there. Like, he is probably, him and Şengün are probably going to be the team's focal point. And like we said, man, you know one thing about Jalen is fearless. I don't think you're worrying about walking in there and thinking, boy, Jalen, man.
He's going to get his.
He's going to get him up. And that's what I'm saying is, you got a guy that's fearless that I can bet this is a dude that is wanting a moment, right? Like, oh, man, I ain't never been to playoffs. He's somebody who can't wait to get in this thing and to make a name for it. And I just, when you have that combination of a player, it is, you just don't know exactly what you're going to get from it. Because, like, you've talked about it. Amen Thompson, he may kind of come and go a little bit with his aggressiveness. Jalen really I bet you his aggressiveness goes up once the playoffs hit. And I'm excited to watch
that. And it looks like, again, I mean, I don't want to beat the dead horse, but just the more control that he has of his game, it looks like he's ready to take that next step, which would be better talent in the playoffs and arriving against other superstars.
Yep. McNeese State, this is getting out of hand for Clemson. 31-13 as they head to the final seconds of the half. Man, that one, I'm telling you, but that one, I mean, that one right there, boy, that's almost in the bag right there. Almost, I bet I better calm down a little bit. But man, I mean, good God, that had to be a hell of a collapse. This is the tournament, man. You just don't know. Like, I bet you these Clemson fans haven't seen this team play like this all year, don't they? I mean, they never seen them. They've scored 13 damn points in the half. What is U of H out there playing them?
Digging them up, baby.
That's that Houston defense. Boy, 13 points in the first half. Someone wanted to text in to let us know that Jake Myers hit a home run today.
Jake hit a bomb, huh?
Jake, huh? For Jake. Telling you, man, he ain't going nowhere, baby. Jake has got it, baby.
No, we need Jake to turn it old corner.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, by the way, little Astros news today that we do need to push across about 0-3 technique, Luis Garcia.
Yeah.
Luis Garcia had a setback. And I know, Tyler, I was thinking about it. Like, whenever you hear them Astros start using that setback, that language.
And sore elbow.
It's been reported Luis Garcia has been shut down. Remember, he had the, like,
no,
wasn't he the,
God!
He had it 2 years ago, right? And there was almost threats that he would come back, and then eventually
they
shut him down last year.
Yeah, last season, it feels like I remember like three, if not four, different moments throughout the season where it's like he's ramping up. You know, he's working back. Luis Garcia, setback.
Yep.
Damn it, man.
Well, Luis Garcia has been shut down with elbow soreness and will be seen by team doctors. Joe Espada, the captain, said Garcia had been scheduled to throw a live BP today. So, I mean, it's a tough thing because, I mean, obviously they're going to need all the arms that they can get right now. And he's somebody you would have thought would have been ready to go this year. I'm not going to say that this is a huge, huge hit to them. But depending on how long he's potentially out, that's one, because you need the arms and need all those guys.
You know, well, we talk about, and we have, it seems like for 3 years now, like the surplus of arms, especially if you're just talking about arms to get you through the regular season. The Astros have an embarrassment of riches, and this is one of them. So, you know, I don't know how bad, you know, Luis Garcia hurt you big pictures. It's kind of like Altuve. Like I don't see Altuve being in the outfield in a damn playoff series. I don't see Luis Garcia being a big part of a series. Maybe he makes a couple of appearances, you know, here and there in relief, but he's not going to be a big. He wasn't going to be a big part of any kind of run in the playoffs again anyway. So I do wonder how bad this hurts you. It obviously makes you thinner.
Yeah.
And literally and figuratively, if you're talking about his big ass.
Because you're thinking of all the guys that – because they've had a lot of pitchers that had injury problems coming into it. He's the one that was furthest removed from
thought to be ahead of Lance not too long ago.
Yes. I mean, Lance has had 4 years on him. But, yeah,
you thought that was the most recent.
I'm just saying Lance had 4 years of this
point.
Injury.
He ought to have rehab down by now.
He ought to have that down. All right, so we'll keep you updated on that. But that's one to watch. It just when you start hearing shut down, elbow soreness, like that up with the Astros, that don't to me say, oh, all right, man, that's just a couple weeks. Like that's something that you feel maybe a little bit more serious. All right, as we continue live here, Twin Peaks, right off Kirby. A potential. I wonder if this will actually happen. I would vote yes for it if I had a vote. But the NFL potentially may make a move here that the Detroit Lions are pushing that would have affected the Houston Texans. We'll discuss that next.
Live from Twin Peaks at Kirby and 59, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we're live here back at Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks here off 59. And Kirby, come on out and have a good time and hang out with us. You need to. Get on out here as these games are heating up. Clint has his own personal parlay. And then we also have the team parlay. I think both are doing pretty good. You got BCU in the lead right now, 19-17. You need that one. And then McNeese State is just destroying Clemson right now at the half, up 31-13 at the half. So looking pretty good right
now. Yeah, if we can get this McNeese game to hold on, man, we're going to be in some pretty good shape for both these parlays we got rolling.
Yeah, I feel good about them. Feel good about all four of them, man. Not messing with a lot of – you know the games that really make you nervous is to me, kind of like the U of H game. Where you never know when a team's going to take their foot off the gas, then you never know when they're going to put somebody in, and then what do the other team's second stringers do versus the other ones, and then, you know, hey, you're up 18 and a half. All right, now they should win by 18. The next year, you know, it's 20.
Yeah.
It's just 40 seconds left. Somebody hit some shots, and damn near, you know, now you done won by 17.
Well, the good thing for us is, and for you, just say us, I'm talking about McNeese State, by the way, but you know, the good thing is that them and U of H, I mean, they're winning with defense, and that typically, you know, your depth plays some similar defense because they've been working on it all year long. So they don't have to make shots. They just need to keep that defense intensity up, and we'll be all right.
Yeah, that's not what they're thinking. Yeah. They're thinking trying to get. I'm gonna get on.
Let me hit a shot.
I'm in a transfer portal after tonight's game.
Transfer portal. Can I get on one shining moment? Can I get me a moment on that bad boy?
Give me a good 10-point run here. I can transfer and make a little money next year.
There you go. So come on out. Have a good time. Enjoy yourself. Have some good food and good drinks. I think I might try them wings here in a little bit. I saw you get them.
I did the smoked wings. They're good, man.
I saw you. You might have jumped on that.
Not a big mess. It's nice.
All right, Clint. We see a lot of teams try to change rules committee and all this thing. Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, reports that the Lions have proposed a bylaw change that would allow wild card teams to be seeded higher than division winners based on record. So basically, whoever in a playoff matchup, Clint, has the better record is the host team. Right, that would be the case, and they're not basing it by divisions and division winners and things like that. Like the NBA has it, right? They base it off the conference standings and not necessarily the division standings in terms of who has home field advantage. And in this case, that would have meant like a team like the Texans, Clint, would have actually had to go on the road to face a team like the Chargers who had a better record than them. Do you like this move? Would this be something you would be down for with the NFL?
Absolutely. I know Texans fans are going to hate me for that, but absolutely.
I mean, just because it worked for them this time. And I don't know.
You've got a crappy division. You could win this division next year with 9 games, and you want a home game, right? I mean, for us here, it's pretty damning, to be honest with you, given our history. But I just think it's the right thing to do. I think moving forward, it should be how many wins you have in a season, and they should reseed that thing when the playoffs start. I'm okay with you automatically getting in. I mean, I'm okay with you winning a division you're in, but if you win a division like Seattle did back in the day
when they were 7-9,
seven wins, like your ass got to be the dead last seed in the bunch.
No, I'm with you. It is the sport where it to me appears home field advantage is like such a big advantage. As opposed to other sports, right? It feels
the only bigger advantage is the bye.
Yeah.
And that's because you just get to, you know what I mean? Yeah. You don't have to play. You just get to move on.
And obviously you get to get healthy and you don't take hits. But no, I'm with you. It doesn't feel as bad like last year with the Texans because, you know, it was within one game and they felt like similar teams. But yeah, that is like the Vikings were playing for the number one seed and a bye, and then the next week they had to go on the road.
Go to California, right? Actually, they ended up going to Arizona.
L.A. They played
the Fires moved to Arizona. Yeah,
but had to go on the road.
Yeah.
Winning almost, 15 games. 15-2, man. You got to
be at home, man.
You got to host one.
Yeah, no, I agree wholeheartedly with you on that, man. Yeah, I love this. I love the thought here. Did you see the other thing that they proposed?
Hold on, real quick before you. Do you think that will fly?
Yes.
You think that is something that will change?
Yeah, I think
I do.
Yeah,
I do. The other thing that they proposed, which I 100% dislike, by the way, is the automatic first down on defensive holding or illegal touching.
And they say no.
Like right now, it's an automatic first down.
First down, yeah.
I mean, their proposal is if the penalty yardage doesn't equal a first down, get the first down, then it should be remain fourth down or whatever, third down, whatever, and you go. Now I've dialed up a perfect play, and I've got the matchup that I want, and my guy's breaking open. Your guy knows he's beat, so he tackles him on third and 18, and all of a sudden I got to line up again and do it on third and 3.
I
don't like that.
Yeah, I don't like that because college they do it all the time, which is smart. If you go because it's 15, right? It's not a spot foul.
Yeah,
like I'm just gonna grab you, even if it is a first, I'm just gonna grab you and pull you down. Now, because some of it is tough. Some of it is tough where it's just.
Well, if it's defensive holding or illegal touching, it's different than pass interference. Like it's not like
defensive holding is automatic.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But they're different penalties, right? So it's I don't know. I just, for me, I'm out on that one. I like the best record. You see this thing, the best records get the home games. As far as changing the penalties, no, man. If you're going to grab my receiver and tackle him to the ground on a third and 18 or a fourth down in a critical situation, I got to get to that first down.
Text line coming in. Nah, if you can't win your division, you don't deserve a home game. But you deserve one if you win your division at 8-9 or not, like, I don't.
Yeah, 500 football team deserves a home game even just because they play in a crappy division. Yeah, that's not that ain't right.
I don't agree with that. And it'll never pass because too many homer owners will lose home games. Well, they're not losing.
The other owners would gain.
I said they're not losing them to just random people. They're not losing them to the Dodgers.
Well, I think the reason that it's an easy change is because, as you mentioned, I know all leagues aren't created equal, and obviously sports are different. But like there are blueprints out there of how it works in other sports.
Yeah. No, there. I mean, yeah, like Houston. Like right now, Houston, I think they're in the same division as OKC. Like Houston shouldn't have to, if they're the 2 seed, they have the second best record in the conference, shouldn't then have to go on the road to play the Lakers because the Lakers won the Pacific with Golden State in there as their second best team, right? I agree. I think it should be. I think the overall thing should be seeded as records to begin with from the jump, right? I think it should be wherever moving on should be from the jump best record rolling through. So I like that time, like you said, that time the damn Seahawks were 7-9 and hosted like an 11 or 12 win Saints team. That was insane.
Yeah, Memphis is the team you were thinking of in the division. The Rockets.
Yeah. All right. Coming up, Clint said something earlier about one of the newest Texans that I think Texas fans are hoping makes a big impact. He had a question about him. We'll discuss that and get his answer coming up next.
Live from Twin Peaks at Kirby and 59, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
And The Drive returns from their commercial break. There you go. Head on a swivel, boys.
There it is. Drive is live. I had
Deb's a big winner. Deb is the big winner.
Deb was the big winner.
$50 Twin Peaks gift card.
There you go. Get you a Twin Peaks gift card. You got several chances to win things. You got another $50 Twin Peaks gift card, as well as $25 Visa gift cards.
Was it me or was he yelling at us?
Who? Tyler?
Tyler.
I think Tyler was just excited. I believe. That's how I'm taking
it. Yeah, that's it.
I feel like you yelled at us, Tyler.
No.
I mean, your headsets weren't on, and we were back from a commercial, so.
Oh, I forget you could see us.
He could. Mine.
You're congratulating Deb, least, man. She was
least,
winning.
Yeah, Deb was winning. At least my,
winning's
my,
fun.
My headset was not in my hand. it was confiscated from me. But no, we were having a good time. We're back. You can have a chance if you are not in the building yet, and if you're coming in as you need to be, or if you are in the building, you can sign up and put it in our raffle little barrel there. We got the real deal in here, and you could be a winner like Deb, who just took home a prize. We've got three other things we're going to cut somebody else up with over the next couple of hours, so come on and have a good time and hang out with this McNee, baby. McNee's up here. 40-16, man. Come on, man. We got to be feeling good. And then Tyler, Clint, he has Gonzaga and Georgia. And Gonzaga's up 11-0 in this game to start. I mean, this is we got a shot here. See, this is why I can't do this, because all of this can be completely thrown to hell with just Missouri coming out and being stupid.
Yeah, when he says do this, he's talking about making these bets, making these parlay bets that we got going on.
No, sorry, man. There's nothing to do this thing here, man. That
gets a little excited.
I get a little excited, man. I want to do it for the people, man. That was fun last year.
I mean, we got a good little start here. Settle down. You're not going to fight. You better settle down. Hell, you're going to have a heart attack. You ain't going to find out your final bet until midnight.
Yeah, no, yeah. You got Michigan late. Late game. That's all right. But come on out, have a good time, and enjoy yourself here as the tournament. My favorite day on the sports calendar has started. Here, get you a beer, get you whatever, and come on and hang out. You said this earlier. You're talking about the number two receiver, Clint.
Yeah.
And right now, the most accomplished outside of Nico Collins is Christian Kirk. And I wonder from the people here, those of you on YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in on this as well. Those of you on the Texas Hammer, the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line, you can join in on this 271-357-2416. Are you comfortable with Christian Kirk right now as a number two receiver? Right, I'm not saying that the Texans are done adding receivers, because I don't believe that Justin Watson and Xavier Hutchinson and John Metchie should be it. But say they even add another one, and maybe this person is more of a third. Are you comfortable with Christian Kirk as a number two receiver?
I am not. No. I think if you look at Christian Kirk right now, even if you get a healthy Christian Kirk, I'm not talking about who you like the most. I'm just talking about if you'd have put Christian Kirk on his football team last year, he would have been the fourth best receiver. And I'm just talking about as a guy I think Tank Dell is a better route runner. I think Tank Dell is a better separator. I think Tank Dell is a better tracker of the football and making big time plays. Obviously, Nico and Diggs would be viewed above him. And so, yeah.
I don't think Diggs is right now. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll say going into last year, I would not have shaked my mouth to say that Christian Kirk is better than Diggs. So now with the injury, another year off, we've seen some football. Maybe Christian Kirk can play the same level of ball that Diggs can right now. But he would have been, in my opinion, would have been the fourth best receiver in terms of creating separation and making plays. He would have been the fourth best receiver on his team last year. And right now, and the less versatile guy versatile guy on the team. So I think it's a big dip from one year to the next. And I think here's where, for me, it's tough to have with the Texans this year. It's going to be tough. Until I see what they're going to do offensively, it's going to be tough for me to have the 1-2-3 guy conversation. We talked about this last week with B. Scott. Like, I'm not looking for a guy that you and I would sit here and say, well, this guy's better than Christian Kirk, as much as I'm looking for another outside receiver that's a great route runner, you know, or an outside receiver that's a take the top off the cover speed guy. Because I think this is going to be more about, like, specific styled receivers playing in specific places this year instead of just three or four guys that can do it all. Right, so I'm looking for more of a specific receiver than I am necessarily a guy that's better than Christian Kirk, but I think he would be more important than Christian Kirk. Yes,
yeah, I think there is. I'm with you. I think they need somebody that can stretch the defense more. But for me, my thing is, because I see someone text in and said, "Hell no, they don't believe that he would be a better that he they're comfortable him as a two." To me, if he is healthy, which has been a thing that has ended his season, he has had, I believe, a groin in his season and then a collarbone last year in his season. If he's healthy and he can go, like, I feel confident that when you say, all right, number two receiver, a guy that can be productive off of Nico, a guy that when they try to take away Nico can still have an answer, give an answer, and be somebody that can be there for CJ. I feel comfortable with that, because when he has been healthy in Jacksonville and even in Arizona before that, when he has been healthy, I mean, this has been a guy that's been between a 900-yard to 1,100-yard level receiver. And to me, that is a and he's not played with quarterbacks as good as CJ. All right, now, again, the wild card is the coordinator and the play caller and, and everything else. But to me, if he's healthy, right, this is a guy's not 30. If he's healthy, I feel good about his production out of the slot. Now, I think it's a big deal is, I think in some people's thoughts, it's hard for you to maybe be a two primarily playing in the slot. I think that may be something that, that may be something you're looking at is like, it's hard. If I can't move you, if you just got to sit right there in one spot, that's hard to say you're a two. But for me, it's more of a health thing. I would be surprised, Clint, if he was healthy and he played 17 games this year and he wouldn't fit what they need.
I think he fits what they need. I think he will be a productive player. I think when teams, particularly when you play better defenses, particularly when games mean more late in the season, I think teams are going to do everything they can to take Nico Collins out of the game. I'm not comfortable with Christian Kirk being the guy that's going to rescue us from that by himself. Right now, you got Christian Kirk, John Metchie, and Dalton Schultz. That ain't going to scare many.
Well, it can't be. Again, we agree. They've got to add somebody else. But like right now, for an example, right now if they brought in Amari Cooper, the Amari Cooper that is playing, the Amari Cooper that has played lately is not better than Christian Kirk. Like the guy we saw last year that played, like the guy
really didn't even play in Buffalo.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying based off. I'm not talking about the guy who put 270 on the Texans, but the guy last year that was having a lot of, like, Shakir was the slot guy for them. He was more of the two. Like, that guy, it's not a definite that he would be better. But you would feel better with Nico, Kirk in the slot, and him.
No question.
Or if they drafted, say if they drafted Matthew Golden, who may be climbing ahead of where they are, but they were to draft him, he wouldn't come in and be the number two. But those two together, you would feel better about it. Yeah, hell no, I'm not going to sit here and say, all right, man, they got Nico, and then on the other side of Christian Kirk and the inside is Xavier Hutchinson, and let's rock and roll. No, I don't agree with that.
Yeah, look, it's just you got to have somebody out there to compliment, and more importantly than the 1-2-3 conversation, you got to have somebody out there to compliment. I mean, Amari Cooper, look, I wouldn't touch Amari Cooper with a 10-foot pole if I'm not getting a healthy Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the hell was going on last year in Buffalo, but if I don't get a guy that I feel like can go out there and run the route tree with the best of them, then I'm not touching him. I mean,
Mac Hollins was clearly better.
Well, I mean, he wasn't even on the field half the time.
No, I mean,
Amari wasn't on the field down the stretch. He literally wasn't on the field.
I think he caught one screen pass for 5 yards at the end of the game in the AFC Championship game. Like, yeah, they weren't using him, but. Like, again, like someone said, draft Luther Burton III. Like, okay.
You use a first-round draft pick? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that would fill the void for damn sure.
But I
don't know that you need to do that. Like, I think it would be nice. I'm here for it. But, like, the guys I'm talking about, I'm talking about a DJ Chark, right? An outside receiver that's a little bit longer that can absolutely roll. Like, that is the bottom. That's the floor for what you need to do. Yeah, hell, you go out and get you a first or second round receiver that's a top five to seven receiver coming out this year. Hell yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, that's, I mean, that's above, I mean, that's well above what I'm talking about.
And that's just my thought is both of those, by the way, Gonzaga's up 23-3, Tyler. We're playing football out here with
that's what I got on in my studio. I'm loving it.
Good God Almighty. All right, but even those guys like a DJ Chark or Luther Burden coming in day one, you would not expect that they would be more productive than Christian Kirk. From what Christian Kirk is, maybe by the season, you know, you draft a Luther Burden and he starts to impact the team the way that Xavier Worthy did towards the end of the year, and maybe, but you wouldn't come in day one thinking, all right, Luther Burden is our number two receiver, like over Christian, like he's going to be the guy that CJ will depend on to go to if they try to take away Nico. I think you'll probably be looking at Christian Kirk would be the guy you would think would be more productive. All right, what you got coming up at the four?
Well, we got the Masters is right around the corner. We're going to change gears here. The Masters is right around the corner. This right up Tyler's alley for sure. Last year's winner, Scottie Scheffler, which, by the way, I started watching that
full swing.
Yeah, it's got me locked in. It's got me locked in. My wife had to tell me the last two nights, like, hey, if you think you're going to watch another episode, you're crazy in here. You have to go to the living room.
I love that amateur kid.
Yeah. It's a good watch, no doubt about it. But the Masters is right around the corner, and in the spirit of the Masters, Tyler had a great idea, and I went ahead and stole it. The Champions Dinner is where last year's winner gets to pick the menu, right? And I'm going to assume that we can't do bullets and bugs. I can't do boiled crawfish and cold beer, sponsored by Coors Light, preferably at Augusta. I'm going to guess they're not going to do that. I got a little menu here, Tyler. I got to see if you can get down with it. I want to hear what you got. If you were Scottie Scheffler, what are you feeding the boys at the Masters? We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
You're going to get hard if you play us.
You're going to get hard.